Hello, and welcome to The Deep Dive, the show where we unpack complex topics and extract the most important insights, all tailored just for you. I'm Kennedy Larson, your guide through today's fascinating material.
And I'm Parker Rackwitz, ready to connect the dots and provide that crucial context. Together, we're going to help you navigate today's topic with clarity and confidence.
Today, we're embarking on a critical exploration of the challenges facing U.S. federal agencies in their quest for IT modernization and heightened cybersecurity. We'll be diving into a stack of insights that reveal a clear strategic path forward. The title of our deep dive today is Why U.S. Federal Agencies Need to Adopt Capado to Secure and Accelerate Speed to Mission.
That's right. Our mission today is, well, it's to deliver a comprehensive, in-depth analysis of why Capado is not just an option, but really a strategic imperative for federal agencies. We'll examine how it helps them meet crucial initiatives, mandates, and, you know, mission requirements, focusing on securing and accelerating their speed to mission, that critical ability to deliver vital services and capabilities rapidly and reliably.
And for those of you on the Capado sales team, or maybe you're just curious about strategic priorities in this massive federal market, we'll be giving you a detailed breakdown. We'll cover which agencies, departments, programs, federal system integrators, and key personas to prioritize, and perhaps most importantly, why. So let's unpack this and dive deep into the world of federal DevSecOps.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting with the enormous challenge driving the urgent need for change in the federal government. This isn't just about updating software, is it? It feels like a profound, multifaceted crisis that's been building for decades. Federal agencies are truly grappling with what you could only call a crisis of obsolescence. It's a heavy burden that impacts everything, wouldn't you say?
It absolutely is. And what's truly striking, I think, is the scale of this problem. Because it's not just an inconvenience, it's a systemic drain. We're looking at over $100 billion in annual federal IT spending. But a staggering 80% of that budget isn't fueling innovation or new capabilities.
Yeah.
It's being consumed by the sheer cost of maintaining outdated, often decades-old, legacy systems.
80%. Wow.
Which leaves this dangerously small fraction, only about 20%, for any kind of new development or modernization. This creates a debilitating cycle where these older systems become more expensive just to keep alive, which then further starves the very modernization efforts that could actually solve the problem, you see.
That's a powerful visual of a system just trapped, eating itself almost. Can you give us an example that really illustrates this? Something concrete?
Absolutely. The Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, offers a stark illustration with its individual master file system, the IMF. This is an architecture that remarkably dates back to the 1960s.
The 60s? Seriously?
Seriously, imagine trying to process modern tax laws, yeah, digital interactions, complex financial regulations, all through a system designed before personal computers were even a thing. The real takeaway here for federal CIOs, I think, is that these aren't just old systems. They are profound bottlenecks for efficiency, a constant source of technical debt, and frankly, significant vulnerabilities to national security.
It sounds like a ticking time bomb, and a very, very expensive one at that. But this isn't just agencies deciding to modernize on their own whim, right? There are strong policy directives pushing this change.
Precisely. This isn't just an internal desire. It's a top-down mandate for change. We saw the foundational push with the digital government strategy way back in 2012. Mm. That was aiming for a 21st century digital government that delivers better services.
Okay, so that set the stage.
It did. Then Executive Order 13571 explicitly connected IT modernization to improving customer service and streamlining service delivery. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the President's Management Agenda, PMA, has codified this goal, emphasizing enhanced mission delivery and productivity through modern IT. These aren't just suggestions. They are directives that underpin every agency's strategic planning. They have to pay attention to these.
So it's not just about better tech. It's truly about better government and delivering services more effectively to citizens. And that brings us to a really interesting concept you mentioned, the speed to mission doctrine. What exactly does that entail, and why is it so critical right now?
Yeah, this doctrine fundamentally reframes IT modernization. It's not just an IT project anymore. It's seen as a direct enabler of an agency's core purpose. The Scaling IT Modernization Playbook actually highlights performance at speed as a form of value in itself.
Performance at speed. I like that.
It challenges the traditional, often slow, very risk-averse approaches that have long characterized federal procurement and development. The insight here, I think, is that speed isn't just about efficiency. It's about relevance and responsiveness to national needs and citizen demands.
So being slow is actually a risk in itself.
Exactly. It signals an imperative for tools, culture, and processes that can deliver secure capabilities at the pace modern technology demands. Moving from those sluggish bureaucratic processes to agile, rapid delivery that directly supports the agency's primary mission. When national security or public welfare is at stake, waiting 2 months for a software update simply isn't acceptable anymore.
No, absolutely not. The speed to mission idea really sets the stage for our next topic, the cloud smart strategy. This is a crucial pillar of modernization, but moving to the cloud also introduces its own set of risks and complexities, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. The 2019 Cloud Smart Policy was the first major update in 7 years, offering a comprehensive roadmap for agencies to migrate to secure, efficient cloud infrastructures. What's important to understand is that it's built on three interdependent pillars: security, procurement, and workforce. You can't really separate them.
Right, they all have to work together.
Exactly. It's not just about lifting and shifting applications. It's a holistic, strategic approach to cloud adoption. The real insight for federal IT leaders here is that cloud adoption isn't just a technical shift. It requires a complete overhaul of how they think about managing risk, acquiring services, and crucially, developing their talent.
And part of that holistic approach involves application rationalization, which sounds like a very bureaucratic way of saying, let's clean house.
Ah, exactly. That's a good way to put it. Cloud Smart compels agencies to inventory their existing applications and actively discard obsolete, redundant, or overly resource-intensive applications while prioritizing those that are ripe for cloud migration.
Makes sense. Get rid of the old junk.
Pretty much. And this directly drives the adoption of secure, pre-authorized cloud-native platforms. And this is where Salesforce Government Cloud becomes highly relevant. It offers a vetted, compliant environment for these new mission capabilities, allowing agencies to consolidate and streamline their digital footprint.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting, though, from what I've read. With this rapid push to the cloud, there's a new, somewhat clandestine challenge emerging: shadow DevOps. What is that, and why is it such a significant problem?
Shadow DevOps, yeah, it can indeed be quite problematic. When agencies rapidly adopt cloud services without a centralized, sanctioned platform or clear best practices, well, it can lead to an absence of awareness and control over these cloud assets.
So teams just doing their own thing?
Pretty much. Individual development teams, maybe trying to accelerate delivery or bypass slow, manual processes, might resort to using insecure, unapproved methods for managing their Salesforce releases. Imagine a well-intentioned admin, perhaps working late or on a weekend, pushing a change directly to production via some unsanctioned tool because the official process is just too cumbersome.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. This creates inconsistent, unauditable, and high-risk development practices that directly undermine the very security and efficiency goals that CloudSmart is supposed to achieve.
So the very solution meant to bring agility, if it's not managed properly, can actually create new vulnerabilities and a lack of oversight. That's a huge issue, especially for accountability. And speaking of oversight, CloudSmart also highlights deficiencies in the federal workforce. How does that factor into the modernization equation?
That's the third pillar, right? The strategy acknowledges critical gaps in federal procurement understanding of cloud services and, crucially, in workforce skills. There's a pressing need for reskilling initiatives for new technology and cybersecurity roles in a cloud-centric environment.
So they need tools that don't require a PhD to use.
Essentially, yes. This highlights a strong need for solutions that are not only technologically advanced, but also accessible and easy to adopt. This is where a low-code DevOps platform, particularly one with a Salesforce native user interface, directly addresses this workforce pillar. It empowers existing Salesforce administrators and developers, leveraging the talent they already have and reducing the need for extensive retraining on complex, disparate tool chains.
That makes a lot of sense.
The insight here is that the right tools can bridge the skills gap, making the existing workforce more productive and secure in the cloud without this massive, disruptive retraining effort.
So we're talking about modernizing, moving to the cloud. But the federal environment itself presents unique hurdles. I mean, bureaucracy isn't exactly synonymous with agile, is it?
No, it's certainly not. Federal environments often present formidable cultural and procedural barriers to agile and DevSecOps. We're talking about complex legal frameworks, deeply siloed organizational structures where, you know, teams might not even know what other teams are doing.
Right. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is coding.
Exactly. And a natural resistance to change that is often rooted in long-standing, risk-averse practices. These are all, well, antithetical to the collaborative and iterative nature of agile development. The real insight for leaders is that these aren't just minor obstacles. They are structural impediments that actively block mission velocity and increase risk.
It sounds like communication across these departments alone would be a Herculean task. Forget just coding together.
It is. And often it's hindered by specialized jargon and the sheer physical and organizational distance between teams, only amplified in today's hybrid work environments. But the structural fragmentation is perhaps the most significant hurdle. You have 24 major departments, each with numerous subcomponents, often controlling their own IP systems and budgets.
24?
Yeah. This makes wide-scale modernization and sharing best practices incredibly difficult, leading to inconsistency and preventing any real enterprise-wide efficiencies.
Yeah.
It's like trying to get 24 different orchestras to play the same symphony without a conductor or even the same sheet music.
Oh, that's a great analogy. So what does this all mean for agencies trying to adopt modern practices like DevSecOps? How do they overcome this inherent fragmentation?
This raises an important question. How do you foster agility and security in such a fragmented landscape? Well, agencies require what we call a unifying platform, or a single pane of glass.
A single view across everything.
Exactly. This platform needs to provide a holistic view of the entire development and delivery lifecycle across all programs. Critically, it must be capable of enforcing standardized processes and quality gates automatically. It needs to facilitate seamless collaboration among all stakeholders, developers, administrators, QA testers, security analysts, release managers, to finally break down those long-standing silos that have historically impeded government speed to mission.
Makes sense.
Without that unifying layer, the fragmentation will just continue to stifle progress and keep agencies from realizing the full benefits of cloud and agile.
Okay, as if those existing challenges weren't enough, we now layer in the federal cybersecurity gauntlet. This isn't just about compliance anymore, is it? It's about proactive DevSecOps. And Executive Order 14028 is a major player here.
What's truly foundational here is how much EO 14028, issued back in May 2021, has reoriented the government's entire approach to security. It's arguably the most significant shift in federal cybersecurity policy in over a decade.
Driven by things like SolarWinds.
Absolutely. Driven by the increasing sophistication of supply chain attacks like SolarWinds. The order mandates a government-wide shift toward zero-trust architecture and, critically, places an unprecedented emphasis on securing the software supply chain. The insight for CISOs listening is that security is no longer just about the network perimeter. It's now a deeply embedded responsibility for every line of code and every vendor involved in the software supply chain.
So it's not just about protecting the perimeter, but making sure the software itself is secure from its inception and then continuously verified.
Exactly. The EO requires federal agencies, and maybe more importantly, their software vendors, to adopt secure development practices and to provide self-attestation of compliance. This creates a substantial burden of proof.
Self-attestation sounds like trust me.
Well, yes and no. It requires documentation and processes. And to make it even more stringent, a recent January 2025 cybersecurity executive order adds enhanced software attestation requirements through CISA's Repository for Software Attestation and Artifacts, or RSAA. This means more rigorous verification and documented evidence are needed for every piece of software flowing into the government.
That sounds like a lot of paperwork and a big shift in mindset. But the core idea here is shifting left-right, bringing security earlier into the development process.
That's the critical takeaway. These mandates effectively require a DevSecOps approach. Security can no longer be an afterthought or just a final checklist item before deployment. It has to be integrated into every single phase of the development lifecycle.
From the very beginning.
From the beginning. Allowing agencies to identify and mitigate vulnerabilities as early and efficiently as possible. This shift-left mentality is about embedding security at the developer's workstation, not just at the network edge. It's about making security an inherent part of the development process, not a separate, often late gate that slows everything down.
Okay, when we talk about shifting left and secure software development, the NIST Secure Software Development Framework, or SSDF, comes up repeatedly. It's often called the gold standard, but what makes it so important for federal compliance?
The NIST SSDF, specifically Special Publication 800-218, is indeed the designated gold standard for implementing EO 14028. And compliance is now mandatory for federal agencies.
Mandatory, not optional?
Not optional. It's not just a recommendation. It's the government's official rulebook for secure software development practices. The framework provides a structured, comprehensive, and pretty prescriptive set of best practices.
And how comprehensive are we talking? What kind of practices does it cover? Is it just code scanning?
Oh, much more than that. Incredibly comprehensive. The SSDF outlines 42 specific tasks across 19 practices, organized into four high-level groups. Prepare the organization, protect the software, produce well-secured software, and respond to vulnerabilities. To give you a sense of its scope, it covers everything from conducting threat modeling to identify potential attack vectors early on, using automated static and dynamic code analysis tools, providing secure coding training to developers, and meticulously maintaining the provenance of all software components, including any open source libraries used. Where did this code come from?
Wow, 42 tasks.
Yeah, it truly is an end-to-end approach to secure software development, designed to build security in from concept to deployment and beyond.
That sounds incredibly thorough, but it also sounds like a lot of work. Is there an implementation gap here for agencies, especially with low-code platforms like Salesforce?
There is a significant implementation gap, and it's a major challenge. Many agencies struggle to embed all 42 of these tasks into their existing workflows, especially on low-code platforms like Salesforce, where changes are made by both traditional developers and administrators who might not have deep coding backgrounds, right?
Right. The clicks not code crowd still needs to comply.
Yeah, exactly. Manually documenting and verifying compliance for every single software release becomes an untenable, error-prone task that simply cannot keep pace with agile development cycles. It just doesn't scale. So what does this all mean for a federal agency? The real insight is that the only scalable path forward is to adopt compliance as code.
Compliance as code? Explain that.
It means codifying these compliance rules directly into the automated toolchain itself, making adherence an intrinsic, automatic, and auditable part of the development process. It's about building security and compliance in, not trying to bolt it on at the last minute with checklists.
Got it. Automated guardrails, essentially.
Precisely.
Okay, moving from the NIST SSDF, we also need to talk about CISA's binding operational directives, or BDODs. These aren't just suggestions. You said they're compulsory and come with strict deadlines.
That's right. CSCs, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, is the operational lead for federal civilian cybersecurity. And they issue these BODs with strict deadlines. These aren't optional guidelines. They mandate specific actions to address known vulnerabilities and systemic risks across the government. They are designed to enforce a common baseline of security with, frankly, no room for debate. Agencies often have to take action within days or weeks.
Wow, that's fast for government. What's their primary focus these days, particularly concerning cloud adoption and software supply chain?
CISA's directives are increasingly focused on the most critical areas of modern IT infrastructure: cloud services, and the software supply chain. For example, BOD 2501 for cloud services requires agencies to align their cloud environments with CISA's secure configuration baselines. They also frequently highlight what they call the National Software Understanding Gap, emphasizing the urgent need for agencies to gain deep visibility into the software components that make up federal systems, what's actually in the software they're using.
So understanding their ingredients, basically.
Exactly. The rapid, time-bound nature of these directives makes manual compliance and remediation virtually impossible. Agencies absolutely require automated platforms that can quickly scan their entire digital estate, identify non-compliant configurations or vulnerable components, and reliably deploy fixes at scale. Speed is essential.
This sounds like it puts federal chief information security officers, CISOs, in a really tough spot. They're statutorily responsible for the entire software supply chain, but do they actually have the control to act effectively?
This raises an important question, and it's a significant paradox. You're right. Federal CISOs are now statutorily responsible for the security of their agency's entire software supply chain. This includes commercial, off-the-shelf products like Salesforce and all the custom applications built upon them. Yet, they often lack direct control over the development teams and the tools those teams use.
But responsibility without control, not a good place to be.
Not at all. They can't manually inspect every configuration change or line of code, leaving them in a position of immense responsibility without direct control. They're often forced to rely on vendor attestations that are difficult to verify and internal processes that lack transparency, which is a massive liability.
So what's the solution? How does DevSecOps help here?
So what does this all mean? A robust DevSecOps platform that provides a single controllable pipeline for all changes resolves this paradox. It allows a CISO to mandate that every Salesforce modification, regardless of its origin code or click, must pass through automated, policy-driven checkpoints. The insight here is that it transforms the CISO from a mere gatekeeper, often seen as a roadblock.
The office of no.
Exactly. Into an enabler of secure innovation, providing the necessary control and visibility without becoming an impediment to the mission.
Okay, now that we've really dug into the federal imperative for modernization and the complex cybersecurity landscape, let's talk about the solution. Copado's Federal Ready platform. It really aims to secure and accelerate the Salesforce mission within government, starting with Copado GovCloud. What makes this a critical differentiator in the federal space?
Okay, yeah. Here's where it gets really interesting for federal buyers. The foundational requirement, the absolute table stakes for any cloud service in the federal government, is FedRAMP authorization. Copado GovCloud has achieved FedRAMP moderate authorization. This is a rigorous, standardized security assessment. It isn't just a badge. It signifies compliance with stringent security, reliability, and compliance standards for federal cloud services.
So it's pre-vetted, basically.
Exactly, providing a trusted solution right out of the box.
Yeah.
The real insight for federal IT leaders here is that this fundamentally shifts the burden of trust. It moves from manual vendor attestations to a pre-vetted, continuous security baseline, giving agencies unprecedented confidence and speed in cloud adoption.
And the Department of Veterans Affairs played a key role in that, didn't they? Sponsoring it.
Absolutely. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA, sponsored Copado's FedRAMP authorization. This means the VA conducted the comprehensive review and granted a full 3-year authority to operate ATO.
And why is that sponsorship so important for other agencies?
It's a critical benefit because the VA's ATO now serves as a blueprint. It allows other agencies to leverage its robust security assessment and significantly expedite their own procurement decisions, drastically lowering the barrier to entry and accelerating adoption for other federal entities. They don't have to start from scratch.
That makes sense. Saves a lot of time and effort. So it's not just a generic cloud. It's purpose-built for government needs. How does that architecture work? What's under the hood?
Precisely. Copado GovCloud has a specialized architecture designed specifically for the federal environment. It consists of two main parts. First, the Copado Deployer Managed Package, which is installed directly within the agency's secure Salesforce Government Cloud, or Government Cloud Plus instance. So it lives inside their secure boundary.
Okay.
Then there's the Copado GovCloud Service backend. This is an ephemeral, worker-based environment that orchestrates all the DevOps operations, the deployments, the testing, the scans. This architecture ensures that an agency's sensitive metadata and data remain within their accredited security boundary, while still leveraging the power and scalability of a modern cloud service for the heavy lifting.
Got it. Keeps the sensitive stuff safe.
Exactly. This specialized solution is explicitly designed for government agencies wrestling with scaling complex Salesforce projects under strict budgets and intricate compliance regulations.
And the fact that it's the only Salesforce DevSecOps platform with this federal authorization is a huge deal, right? Almost like a competitive moat.
It's a complete game changer for the federal market. Copado is the first and only end-to-end Salesforce DevSecOps platform to achieve FedRAMP authorization, period. This offers federal agencies a cloud-native CI/CD pipeline with a consistent security baseline across all development teams. It provides a level of assurance and compliance that no other Salesforce DevOps solution can currently match in the federal space. It makes it a truly unique offering for this highly regulated environment.
Okay, let's talk about that CI/CD pipeline. End-to-end CI/CD automation for agile at scale sounds like the holy grail for agencies trying to hit that speed to mission goal we talked about earlier. What does this mean in practice?
It truly is.
Yeah.
At its core, Copado directly addresses the federal mandate for speed to mission by replacing those slow, error-prone manual processes. Think change sets, manual uploads with low-code automation for continuous integration and continuous deployment on Salesforce. This dramatically accelerates solution delivery. The real insight here is that it reduces the manual effort associated with deployments by up to 80%.
80% reduction? That's massive.
It is. It frees up valuable developer and administrator time to focus on innovation and more strategic, mission-critical tasks rather than tedious, repetitive deployments. Imagine reclaiming 80% of your team's time from that kind of grunt work. That's a huge shift in productivity and morale.
Absolutely. And a huge part of modern development, especially for security and collaboration, is version control. How does Copado handle that in the Salesforce environment, where changes can come from so many different sources, code, clicks, config?
Version control is absolutely foundational, you're right, and Copado enforces it as the single source of truth for all Salesforce changes. It integrates seamlessly with all major Git providers, GitHub, GitLab, Bitbucket, Azure DevOps. It ensures that every modification, whether from a pro-code developer working in an IDE or a low-code administrator using declarative tools, is committed to a central repository.
So everything gets tracked, no matter who did it or how.
Exactly. This practice establishes a complete, immutable audit trail of who changed what, when, and why. That's essential for security, essential for compliance, and essential for fostering effective collaboration across diverse teams. It gives leadership a clear picture of all changes happening in their orgs.
Okay, so it really de-risks the whole deployment process. Can you tell us about some of the advanced release management features that make this possible and the kind of impact they've had?
Yeah, if we connect this to the bigger picture of de-risking deployments, Capato's advanced release management features are key. We're talking about things like automated branch management, handling all the Git complexity behind the scenes, intelligent conflict resolution that eliminates those dreaded merge headaches that can take hours or days.
Ugh, merge conflicts. Nightmare.
Total nightmare. Also, instant one-click rollbacks of specific metadata components if something goes wrong in production. You don't have to roll back everything.
Nice. Surgical rollback.
Exactly. And automated back promotions to keep development sandboxes easily in sync with production changes. These features work together to significantly de-risk Salesforce delivery, and the results are dramatic. Customer data shows a 192x faster time to recover from production failures.
192 times faster.
Yes, and a 94% reduction in production bugs. This empowers agencies to innovate with confidence, knowing they can quickly recover from any issues without extensive downtime or mission disruption.
Those are massive improvements. Are there any real-world examples from federal agencies that truly drive this home? You mentioned the VA before.
Absolutely. Take Booz Allen Hamilton, a leading federal integrator. They achieved a 3x deployment speed increase using Capato, dropping their typical deployment times from 30 minutes down to under 10 minutes.
Significant time saving.
And for the VA, the prime example we've discussed, organizing dozens of developers across multiple teams on Capato led to 50% faster deployments with zero failures. Zero missed deployment windows.
Zero failures is huge.
It is. These efficiencies translate directly into agencies being able to deliver new features to mission systems in minutes or hours rather than days or weeks, with far less manual effort and significantly improved reliability. It's about delivering more, faster, and with much higher quality.
Okay, accelerated delivery is great, but it can't come at the expense of quality, especially in government services. That's where Capato Robotic Testing, or CRT, comes in. It sounds like it brings AI into the mix to ensure that quality and resiliency are baked in.
That's exactly right. You can't just go faster. You have to go faster safely. Mm-hmm. To ensure that accelerated delivery maintains or even enhances quality, Capato provides a fully integrated AI-powered test automation solution. Capato Robotic Testing, or CRT, is a cloud-native platform designed for functional testing, regression testing, and true end-to-end testing across the entire enterprise, not just Salesforce.
End-to-end, so testing the whole process.
Exactly. It's a crucial component for ensuring resiliency, preventing bugs from ever reaching citizens or mission-critical systems.
Low-code, Kinocode keeps coming up, which is interesting for something as technical as test automation. How does that work? How does it make it accessible to a broader team, not just hardcore testers?
This raises an important question about accessibility and empowering the existing workforce, right? CRT's intuitive low-code, no-code interface really democratizes test automation. This means QA teams, business analysts, and even non-technical users, maybe subject matter experts, can create, execute, and maintain robust automated tests without needing deep programming expertise.
How do they do that?
Well, features like keywords, which are essentially reusable, natural language building blocks for test steps, think click button or verify field, and test agent, which is powered by Capato GPT, allows for natural language test creation. You can literally describe the test you want in plain English.
Wow, okay. That lowers the bar significantly.
It does. It significantly lowers the technical barrier and speeds up test creation, leveraging a wider range of talent within an agency.
So it's not just testing Salesforce itself, but validating entire business processes that might span multiple systems. That's crucial for complex government workflows, like applying for benefits or something.
What's fascinating here is its true end-to-end testing capability. CRT is built for the complexity of modern government systems. It can validate entire business processes that may start in Salesforce, but extend across other systems, web portals, mobile apps, APIs, even legacy enterprise applications like SAP.
So it checks the whole journey,
It ensures that mission-critical services are reliable from start to finish, which is paramount for public-facing government functions.
And this integrates back into that shift left philosophy we talked about earlier for security, but this time for quality, testing earlier.
Precisely. The true power of CRT lies in its seamless integration into the Gapato CI/CD pipeline. Tests can be triggered automatically at any stage of the development process after a commit, before deployment to QA, before production. They effectively serve as quality gates that provide real-time feedback to the development team.
Catching bugs sooner.
Much sooner. This shift-left approach to quality catches bugs earlier in the lifecycle, where they are much faster, easier, and cheaper to fix. By preventing defects from ever reaching production, CRT helps agencies achieve up to a 78% reduction in production defects. That dramatically enhances the stability and reliability of their services and, importantly, citizen trust.
78% reduction in defects is impressive. Okay, integrating security and compliance directly into the DevSecOps lifecycle is non-negotiable for federal agencies, especially with EO 14028 breathing down their necks. How does Gapato embed this, particularly with its compliance hub?
Right, you absolutely have to embed it. The Gapato platform is explicitly engineered to embed security and compliance directly into the DevOps lifecycle, enabling a true DevSecOps posture that meets the stringent demands of federal mandates. The cornerstone of this capability is the Gapato Compliance Hub. This is a dedicated tool specifically for implementing that compliance as code concept we discussed.
Making rules executable.
Exactly. It's not just a reporting tool. It allows agencies to define and automate compliance rules for Salesforce metadata. These rules can be based on internal organizational standards, things like specific password policies or naming conventions, or external regulatory requirements like HIPAA, SOX, ISO 27501, GDPR, and of course FISMA in the federal space. The real insight here is that security and compliance become automated guardrails, actively enforced, not just manual checkpoints someone might forget.
Compliance as code implies active enforcement then, not just passive checks after the fact. How does that work in the pipeline to actually prevent non-compliant changes from moving forward?
That's the key differentiator, active enforcement. These compliance rules are not just passive checks run occasionally. They are active enforcement mechanisms built into the CI/CD pipeline. Automated compliance scans can be configured as mandatory quality gates, running automatically before any code or configuration is promoted to the next environment.
So it stops bad stuff automatically?
Yes. If a violation is detected, for instance, a permission set that grants excessive access, maybe modify all data accidentally left on, or a deviation from a required naming convention, the deployment can be automatically halted. And the developer is notified immediately with actionable feedback right where they work. Hey, this failed the compliance scan because of X.
Immediate feedback loop.
Exactly. This proactive enforcement prevents non-compliant changes from ever reaching production, dramatically reducing risk and avoiding costly rollbacks or audit findings later.
And for leadership, particularly CISOs and CIOs, what about oversight and auditability? That's always a huge concern in the federal space, proving compliance.
Yeah, if we connect this to the bigger picture of government oversight and accountability, Gapato provides a centralized dashboard. This offers real-time visibility into the agency's overall compliance health across all their projects. You can track violations, see trends, see how quickly things are getting resolved over time.
A compliance scorecard, almost.
Kind of, yeah. This continuous monitoring, combined with the immutable audit trail generated for every single scan and deployment, provides the concrete, verifiable evidence required for regulatory audits and, critically, for those software security attestations mandated by EO 15028. It provides verifiable proof of adherence, significantly reducing the burden of manual reporting and evidence gathering for audits.
That audit trail is gold.
It is. And what's also fascinating here is Gapato's open architecture. It's not a closed box. It allows for integration with third-party security scanners, like DigitSec, which specializes in Salesforce source code security scanning. This creates a truly comprehensive, multi-layered DevSecOps solution, ensuring every angle of security from configuration to code is covered within that automated pipeline.
Okay, beyond security and compliance, leaders need to see the big picture performance, bottlenecks, and ultimately ROI. Where are we getting value? That's where value stream maps and analytics come in. How does Gapato provide that crucial visibility into the development lifecycle?
Right, leaders need metrics. Gapato includes robust tools for value stream mapping and analytics, offering leadership that bird's eye view of the entire development lifecycle, from idea to production. Mm-hmm. Agencies can track key performance indicators, KPIs like deployment frequency, lead time for changes, change failure rate, mean time to recovery across different teams and projects.
So you can see where things are slow or failing.
Exactly. This visibility is crucial for identifying bottlenecks. Maybe testing is taking too long or approvals are slow. It helps measure the effectiveness of their modernization efforts. Are we actually getting faster and better? And ultimately, it helps demonstrate a clear ROI on their IT investments back to stakeholders or Congress. For example, a program manager can quickly identify where processes are slowing down or where compliance issues are consistently arising directly from Capato's dashboards.
Enabling data-driven decisions.
Precisely. Allowing for proactive intervention and continuous improvement of their processes.
And how well does Capato integrate with the existing Salesforce ecosystem and other enterprise tools that agencies already have in place? That's always a concern with adopting new platforms. Will it play nice with others?
Yeah, this raises an important question. Can it truly fit into a complex federal environment without causing more headaches or ripping and replacing everything? The answer is yes. First, Capato is 100% native to Salesforce. It works seamlessly within Salesforce Government Cloud as an AppExchange partner app.
So it feels familiar to Salesforce users.
Very familiar. Federal users benefit from familiar interfaces and robust integration without disrupting their existing ecosystem. But it's not just Salesforce native. It also integrates seamlessly with other existing developer tools and repositories, acting as an orchestration layer. Think Git, Jira for work tracking, ServiceNow for change management, MuleSoft for integration. Capato brings everything together in a compliant, unified manner.
The conductor for the orchestra we talked about earlier.
Exactly, ensuring a smooth transition and enhanced interoperability rather than creating another silo.
And looking to the future, what about innovation? Especially with all the buzz around AI right now. Is Capato staying ahead of the curve? How does it help agencies leverage these new technologies?
What's fascinating here is Capato's deep commitment to innovation, particularly with AI. Salesforce itself recognizes Capato's niche. It's a Salesforce Ventures-backed company and a longtime AppExchange partner, deeply integrated into the Salesforce innovation roadmap.
So they're aligned with Salesforce's direction.
Very much so. Capato's recent expansions into AI demonstrate this. They have things like AI-powered DevOps analytics to surface insights from all that data we just talked about, automated release note generation saving teams huge amounts of time, and a suite of AI agents designed to assist with various DevOps tasks, like suggesting deployment steps or identifying potential conflicts.
So practical AI applications for DevOps.
Right. This showcases its alignment with modern SaaS tools and agile methodologies. This positions it not just as a current solution, but as a future-proof platform for federal agencies as they explore cutting-edge technologies and aim to inject AI safely and securely into their operations. It's about being ready for tomorrow's challenges today.
Okay, we've covered the why in depth, the challenges, the mandates, and how Capato's platform addresses them. Now let's get into the strategic who and how. For the Capato sales team listening, or anyone interested in the federal market, understanding which agencies, personas, and partners to prioritize is absolutely crucial. Where should they focus their efforts? Let's get granular.
Okay, this is where we deliver that comprehensive granular detail. We've identified high-value targets and a tiered approach. Let's start with the Tier 1 agencies. These represent the highest priority due to their critical needs, significant funding, and strong alignment with Capato's capabilities.
Makes sense. Let's start with the Department of Veterans Affairs, VA. They're a significant player, especially since they sponsored Capato's FedRAMP authorization, as you mentioned.
Absolutely. The VA is a prime target for Capato, not just because they sponsored the FedRAMP authorization and serve as a strong, credible reference.
Which is huge in government.
Huge. But also due to their massive modernization efforts. Their five-year IT benefits delivery modernization plan, combined with the implementation of the PAN-ET Act for toxic exposure benefits, demands agile state-of-the-art technology. They need to scale systems to meet growing demand and process claims much, much faster, think hours instead of months.
A clear need for speed and reliability.
Exactly. Capato's proven success there, delivering those 50% faster Salesforce deployments with zero missed deployments, makes them a critical high-value target. Their IT budget exceeds $6.1 billion. The why here is crystal clear. They have a proven need, a successful track record with Capato already, and significant budget allocated for this kind of modernization.
Okay, number one target, VA. Next, how about the Department of Homeland Security, DHS? They're enormous in terms of IT spending and have critical missions.
Indeed. DHS is the largest civilian agency in IT spending, with massive Salesforce investments across its components. Key components like U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS, recently awarded a huge $224.9 million multiple award contract specifically for Salesforce platform support.
Wow, $250 million just for Salesforce support.
Yeah. And Customs and Border Protection, CBP, also has multi-million dollar Salesforce implementations for trade and border management. Their digital transformation, case management modernization efforts, coupled with an IT budget over $7.1 billion, make them a strategic priority. The why is their extensive Salesforce footprint, critical mission needs, and ongoing modernization requirements.
Got it. Big footprint, big budget. What about the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS? Their mission involves incredibly complex public services. Health data seems like a fit.
HHS is another critical agency. They have a large IT budget over $5.6 billion. Its mission involves complex case management, public health initiatives, research, making it highly suitable for Salesforce-based solutions that need secure, compliant development.
Lots of sensitive data, too.
Exactly. Opportunities there are substantial, ranging from the Federal Health IT Strategic Plan for 2023-2030 to AI integration efforts across crucial entities like CMS, Medicare, Medicaid, NIH research, CDC, public health, and FDA regulation. They're looking to modernize public health surveillance and grant management systems, among other things. The why is the sheer complexity and scale of their health-related missions, which are ideal for secure, agile development platforms like Capato.
Makes sense. And then there's the big one, the Department of Defense, DOD, a truly massive area with unique security requirements, obviously.
The DOD is definitely a high-value target, though complex. They have substantial classified IT spending, estimated around $37 billion annually, and over 50 internal software factories that require standardized DevSecOps platforms to function efficiently and securely.
50 software factories.
Yeah, driving a huge need for consistency. Their software modernization strategy for FY25-26 creates institutional demand for tools like Capato. A concrete example is the U.S. Navy's program to replace its legacy student information system with a new solution built on Salesforce Government Cloud Plus, operating at DoD Impact Level 4. This requires a very secure, auditable DevOps pipeline.
Exactly the kind of need Capato addresses.
Precisely. The why for DoD is their scale, their stringent security demands, including higher impact levels, and that internal push for standardized software factories.
Okay, that covers the Tier 1 heavy hitters. Moving to Tier 2 agencies, you said these are still significant opportunities, but perhaps more opportunistic targets for sales efforts. Where should they look here?
Exactly. Still very important, but maybe the adoption isn't as widespread yet, or the immediate need isn't quite as pressing as Tier 1. The Department of Justice, DOJ, for example. The Federal Prison System's recent $7 million Salesforce licensure indicates a growing footprint, likely for case management and operational systems. Their IT budget is over $2.9 billion.
So potential for growth there.
Definitely. Then there's the Department of the Treasury. The Bureau of the Fiscal Services IDIQ contract, that's an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract for Salesforce professional services, signals a long-term commitment to financial systems modernization. Their IT budget is over $5.0 billion. And the General Services Administration, GSA. As a central procurement arm and a key influencer in federal IT, GSA's own OneGov agreement with Salesforce demonstrates a strategic partnership. This makes them prime for internal efficiency apps and sets a precedent.
Good targets. The why for these Tier 2 seems to be a growing but perhaps less mature Salesforce footprint that still requires robust DevSecOps as they scale.
Exactly right. There's clear potential for growth and a need for the discipline Capato brings as their usage expands.
And any emerging high-value targets we should keep an eye on for significant future growth. Agencies making big moves.
The Department of Energy, DOE, is notable. They show major technology initiatives reflected in the largest civilian agency IT budget increase recently, up 37% to $5.5 billion. That signals a significant need for DevOps support for their modernization efforts. Their focus on large-scale scientific research, energy grid modernization, and national lab management often involves complex data and application needs, where secure, agile development is key.
Good one to watch. Beyond individual agencies, are there any cross-cutting use cases that apply broadly across the federal landscape, making Capato relevant almost everywhere?
Definitely. Think horizontally. Any federal program relying heavily on Salesforce or similar low-code cloud platforms represents an opportunity. This includes cross-agency citizen services, things like grants management portals, grants.gov potentially, FOIA request systems, or centralized customer service platforms, where rapid, secure deployments of new features are paramount for public trust.
Improving citizen experience.
Exactly. Also, law enforcement and intelligence community needs, where auditable, secure development, and rapid response capabilities are critical. And perhaps most critically demonstrated recently, agencies needing to scale digital services during a crisis. We saw this vividly with Capato supporting 7 different government agencies in rapidly building COVID response applications.
Right, for contact tracing, public comms.
Exactly. Things like contact tracing, vaccination scheduling, public communications portals. This demonstrated Capato's value in scaling digital services very quickly during a crisis without sacrificing reliability or compliance, which is a powerful use case.
Absolutely. Okay, it's clear that different roles within an agency will have different priorities and pain points. Talking to a CIO is different than talking to a release manager. How should Capato tailor its value propositions to these high-value personas to truly resonate? Let's break down the key roles.
This raises an important question. Who are the key influencers and decision makers, and what keeps them up at night? You have to speak their language. Let's start at the top with the Chief Information Officer, or CIO.
For a CIO, it's often about budget, showing quick ROI and overcoming those legacy systems we started with. What's their specific pain point here?
Precisely. Their pain point is often articulated as 80% of my budget is stuck just keeping the lights on for legacy systems, and I need to show real ROI on our cloud investments quickly to drive modernization and efficiency across the agency. They're under pressure to deliver more value.
So how does Capato help them?
Capato offers them measurable modernization wins. It provides budget reclamation from operations and maintenance, O&M, by eliminating rework, reducing manual failures, and speeding up delivery. We're talking about demonstrated value like $4.5 million over 3 years and a 307% ROI in some cases. Plus, it gives them standardized auditable processes that accelerate value delivery through the CI/CD platform, and the value stream maps provide visibility. CIOs consistently report legacy system modernization as their primary challenge. The why for them is a tangible, measurable return on investment in a climate of tight budgets and high expectations.
Makes sense. Speak in dollars and efficiency. Next, the Chief Information Security Officer, or CSO. Their focus is paramount on security risk reduction, especially with EO 14028.
For CISOs, their pain point is acute, almost existential right now. EO 14028 makes me personally responsible for our entire software supply chain, but I have zero visibility into what my Salesforce teams are actually deploying day to day. I'm forced to trust vendor attestations and internal checklists, but I can't truly verify, and that's a massive risk.
So Capato gives them that verification.
Exactly. It helps them transform from being seen as a gatekeeper into an enabler of secure innovation. It provides automated control and complete visibility over the Salesforce release pipeline. It enforces security policy automatically through things like the Compliance Hub and automated quality gates. It generates that immutable audit trail for compliance proof. And Capato's own FedRAMP, SOFI 2, and ISO certifications provide foundational assurance.
Peace of mind, essentially.
A lot of it. The why for a CISO is reducing their personal and organizational risk, turning compliance from a burdensome manual task into an automated, reliable process.
Okay, then we have the boots-on-the-ground technical roles. The DevSecOps lead, platform architect, release manager, or maybe even the lead Salesforce admin, they're doing the heavy lifting and often bearing the brunt of painful manual processes.
Oh yeah, their pain point is palpable. You often hear things like, I spend my weekends doing manual deployments using change sets that are tedious, error-prone, and take forever. Resolving merge conflicts and keeping all our development sandboxes in sync is a constant nightmare.
Release weekends are the worst.
They really are. Capato eliminates that release day pain. It automates, as we said, up to 80% of those manual deployment tasks. It enables one-click, potentially in sprint deployments. It lets the platform handle the complexities of branching, merging, and back-syncing environments. This frees the team to focus on strategic tasks, building new features, not just managing deployments. Remember Booz Allen Hamilton reported that 67% improvement in deployment speed? That's time back for the team. And Capato's low-code approach also significantly aids in reskilling existing federal employees, making them more effective with modern tooling. The why here is a better quality of life, less frustration, and the ability to do more impactful, less tedious work.
Huge appeal there. What about the Salesforce program manager or application owner? They're maybe less technical, more focused on mission delivery and keeping their stakeholders happy.
Right. Their pain point often sounds like this. My vision owner needs a critical new feature in 2 weeks, but our current release process takes 2 months and fails half the time. These delays and the resulting production bugs are eroding trust with leadership and putting the actual mission delivery at risk.
Speed and predictability are key for them.
Absolutely. Capato's value here is clear. Deliver mission value faster and much more predictably. Agencies can deploy, as the data shows, 10x faster with 94% fewer production bugs and 78% fewer defects finding their way to users. They gain end-to-end visibility into the pipeline, can eliminate bottlenecks, and can confidently report progress to leadership. Remember, the VA hasn't missed a single deployment window since using Capato. That level of predictability is gold for a program manager.
Invaluable.
The why for them is predictable mission delivery, meeting deadlines, and regaining or maintaining trust with their mission stakeholders.
Okay, how about the chief technology officer, CTO, or perhaps the chief digital officer, CDO? They often look at the broader strategic picture, balancing innovation with operational excellence, future-proofing the tech stack.
For this persona, their pain point is often balancing those innovation demands from the agency with the need for operational excellence and stability. They're trying to move from fragmented legacy processes to a unified, modern DevSecOps pipeline across their organization.
Driving standardization and future readiness.
Exactly. Capato helps them champion innovation. It offers AI-powered DevOps insights, multi-cloud support capabilities for agencies using more than just Salesforce. And it is a modern SaaS tool aligned with agile methodologies. Crucially, it enables standardization across different projects and teams, bringing consistency and allowing for the reuse of best practices, which is crucial for digital transformation at scale. The why for them is the ability to standardize processes, innovate securely, and drive enterprise-wide digital maturity and future readiness.
And finally, a key, often overlooked persona, acquisition and contract officers. They might not be using the software directly, but they control the purse strings and have to navigate the complexities of federal procurement.
Yes, don't forget procurement. Their pain point is the inherent difficulty and time involved in acquiring new solutions due to complex federal procurement hurdles and lengthy authorization processes, like getting an ATO.
Making it easy to buy is important.
Critical. Capato addresses this directly by being available on established, widely used government contracts like the GSA schedule via Carahsoft, NASA SUIT-V, ArmyITES SW2, and NASPO ValuePoint for state local too. Furthermore, it leverages the VA's existing FedRAMP ATO, which, as we discussed, significantly accelerates the authorization process for other agencies.
Takes a big hurdle off the table.
Exactly. This significantly simplifies and expedites procurement processes, making it much easier for agencies to adopt the solution without getting bogged down in months or years of acquisition red tape. The why for them is frictionless, compliant procurement, allowing them to support their agency's mission needs more effectively and quickly.
Okay, that's a great breakdown of the key personas. Shifting gears slightly, but staying within our strategic framework, federal system integrators, or FSIs, are absolutely critical for executing these large-scale IT modernization programs. How important are these partnerships for Capato in scaling its federal business?
They are absolutely crucial. You really can't scale effectively in the federal market without strong FSI partnerships. FSIs are deeply embedded within federal agencies. They often hold the prime contracts and are responsible for the vast majority of major IT modernization program execution.
They have the relationships and the contract vehicles.
Precisely. Winning their partnership is essential for Capato to scale its federal business effectively. They're not just a sales channel, they are a critical ecosystem component, bringing their deep agency knowledge, implementation expertise, and reach to deliver solutions.
So what's the value proposition for the FSIs themselves? How does Capato make their projects more successful and, dare I say it, more profitable, especially on those tough fixed-price contracts?
The value proposition for FSIs is clear and compelling, especially, as you say, on fixed-price contracts where predictability and efficiency directly impact profit margins. Capato fundamentally de-risks their Salesforce projects. It does this by automating and standardizing the delivery process, making it repeatable and consistently high quality across different teams and projects.
Less room for error, less rework.
Exactly. This directly reduces their labor costs, associated with manual deployments, endless troubleshooting of failed releases, and extensive rework, all factors that significantly eat into project margins and damage client relationships. Ultimately, it improves their project margins, enhances their reputation for reliable delivery, and helps them win more business. Powerful case studies like Booz Allen Hamilton achieving that 67% faster deployment using Capato on a project provide concrete evidence of this value they can take to their clients.
So it's a win-win. FSIs deliver better projects, potentially more profitably, and Capato gets broader adoption through trusted partners.
That's the idea. It's a symbiotic relationship.
So which key FSI partners should Capato be prioritizing and targeting? Who are the big players in the Salesforce federal space?
Based on current contracts, capabilities, and strategic alignment, we've identified a few key ones to focus on. CACI International is a high priority. They have a long-standing, strong presence in the defense and intelligence communities, hold large government contracts, like a recent $526 million Army contract potentially involving Salesforce, and, importantly, they don't seem to have visible competing platform partnerships in the Salesforce DevOps space. This creates clear space for Capato.
Good strategic fit. Who else?
Booz Allen Hamilton, another prominent defense and intelligence contractor with active DevSecOps implementations. Their demonstrated 67% faster deployments using Capato make them an excellent reference and potential partner for further expansion. They've seen the value firsthand, SAIC. They provide comprehensive technology integration, are an AWS premier consulting partner, important for cloud context, and their internal innovation factory methodology aligns perfectly with Capato's automation philosophy. Plus, they hold major contracts like the $1.3 billion Treasury T-Cloud BPA.
Aligning with their methodology helps.
Absolutely. And while Leidos is the largest government IT services provider by revenue and definitely important, their extensive existing technology partnerships across the board mean careful positioning is required to navigate potential competitive complexities. They partner with almost everyone.
Need a nuanced approach there.
Right. The why for focusing on these specific FSIs is their existing large federal footprint, their alignment with modern DevSecOps methodologies, their presence on key contracts, and the potential for large-scale, repeatable engagements where Capato's value proposition really shines.
Okay, that makes sense. Finally, let's talk about how agencies can actually acquire Capato. Understanding the federal procurement vehicles is key to streamlining that acquisition process. What are the primary paths available?
Absolutely. This raises an important practical question. How do we make it easy for agencies to buy this thing? The GSA Multiple Award Schedule, MAS IT category, provides a primary acquisition path. Capato is available on GSA Schedule through Carahsoft. Carahsoft is the largest government IT solutions aggregator, so this partnership streamlines public sector availability significantly, making it a familiar and efficient route for many agencies.
GSA Schedule is the go-to for many. Are there other options beyond that for broader access or different agency preferences?
Yes, there are several other important vehicles. The NASA CPV contracts, specifically NNG SE-03B and NNG 15 SE-27B, offer a popular government-wide acquisition contract, GW ESAID Access. These have substantial contract ceilings and are valid through October 31st, 2025. A lot of agencies like using CP.
Yep, IAP is very popular, yes.
Additionally, Capato is available on other key vehicles like ArmyITES, SW2, W52P1, J20D000 Sort 2, which is mandatory for Army software purchases but also open to others, and NASPO ValuePoint, BAR2472, which is crucial as it also supports state and local government acquisitions. These multiple avenues provide flexibility for different agency procurement preferences and expand reach beyond just federal civilian agencies into DOD and state local. The why is about providing multiple pre-approved pathways to reduce procurement friction and meet agencies where they prefer to buy.
Got it. Makes a buying process smoother. And for more comprehensive IT services that might include implementation, customization, or ongoing support around Capato, are there vehicles for that broader scope?
Yes. For those comprehensive IT services engagements, vehicles like CIO SP3 and its successor CIO SP4 when awarded, and the new GSA Oasis Plus contracts are available, typically through those FSI partners we discussed. These are particularly valuable for implementations requiring significant integration services, customization, training, and ongoing managed support. They offer a broader scope for agencies to acquire not just the software product, but the necessary wraparound services to get it implemented effectively and tailored to their specific mission needs.
So you can buy the whole solution.
Exactly. This robust presence on various contract vehicles significantly lowers procurement hurdles for federal agencies, making it simpler to acquire a full solution, not just a software license.
Excellent. That covers the procurement angle well.
So really, what we've seen today is this powerful alignment between the urgent, complex needs of the federal government, the need for modernization, the absolute mandate for robust cybersecurity, and the unique compliant capabilities of the Capato DevSecOps platform. It's not just about building software faster. It's about building it securely, reliably, and crucially at the speed the mission demands.
Absolutely. And the examples are compelling. From the Department of Veterans Affairs doubling its release velocity with zero missed deployments, as you highlighted, to agencies rapidly deploying critical apps during the pandemic, Capato's real-world outcomes demonstrate a proven balance of speed and security. It really brings that essential DevSecOps discipline, that auditability, that automation, to the unique world of low-code SaaS development on Salesforce specifically for government needs.
Exactly. For federal CIOs grappling with that crippling technical debt and needing to show tangible ROI on cloud investments. For CISOs accountable for the entire software supply chain under EO 1228 and losing sleep over it. Or for program managers just needing to deliver mission-critical capabilities on time and without embarrassing production bugs. Capato provides a secure, auditable, and accelerated path forward. And it bears repeating, it's the only FedRAMP-authorized end-to-end DevSecOps solution built specifically for the complexities of the Salesforce ecosystem in government today. It truly makes compliance and speed compatible, not conflicting forces.
Indeed. As agencies continue their journey of digital transformation and embrace cloud-smart frameworks, tools like Capato will be absolutely pivotal in bridging that gap between the demand for rapid development and the necessity of rigorous compliance. It empowers federal IT teams to not just keep pace, but potentially to truly lead in delivering quality software at the speed of mission, fortifying national infrastructure and improving citizen services along the way.
And that leads us to a final thought for you, our listeners, to ponder. In a world where digital threats are constantly evolving and citizen demands for better digital services are only increasing, how can federal agencies leverage a platform like Capato not just to keep pace with these changes, but to actually lead the way, to deliver groundbreaking citizen services and truly fortify national infrastructure? What new possibilities open up when speed and security are no longer opposing forces, but are intrinsically linked through automation and compliance as code?
A truly thought-provoking question to take with you. We hope this deep dive has given you a clearer, more actionable understanding of this critical intersection of technology, government, and security. Thank you for joining us on the deep dive. We look forward to exploring more with you next time.